Hello everyone and welcome to JTalk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host Mike Innes and in this episode I'll be continuing the 2023 season previews, the third of four pods covering the 20 teams in the division this year, with some comment on their pre-seasons, transfer ins and outs and predictions as to what lies ahead. Let's jump straight in with FC Osaka, runners-up in the JFL last year and now looking forward to their first ever season in the J-League. Under coach Shinya Tsukahara, who's since moved on to a different role in the club, Osaka developed a stylistic reputation along the lines of Iwaki FC 12 months previously. Simple football, aggressively executed with a high press. While, of course, successful enough to gain promotion, the team did at times struggle to maintain the required intensity and along the way suffered a 5-0 loss to fellow promoted side Nara Club. Since then, Osaka have appointed as coach Ryo Shigaki, who impressed in charge at Vanarale Hachinohe in the latter half of 2022. And his strategy in building a J3-ready squad is fascinating. The club have held on to all the main players who won promotion, standout names being right-back Kazuya Mima, right midfielder Rikuto Kubo, and in particular Shusuke Sakamoto, nominally a centre-back but he also plays as a striker. Sakamoto has J3 experience from Azul Claro Numazu, which is also true of both forward Yusuke Imamura and big centre-back Tomoki Taniguchi, while Takumi Kiyomoto, a goal-scoring right midfielder, has more than 100 J-League games under his belt, variously for FC Gifu Oita Trinita and Fujieda My FC. Elsewhere in their squad building, Osaka released a swathe of fringe players and downsized, bringing in a smaller number of signings from a specific set of sources. Tala Ndao, Rui Tone and Takumi Sakai all played last year for other JFL clubs. Kazuki Hattori, Takeru Itakura and Takumi Shimada all followed Shigaki from Hachinohe. Apart from forward Daigo Furukawa, loaned from Iwaki, and a single rookie from university, that's it. A trio from elsewhere in the JFL, a trio who've come with the new coach. And most look set to make an impact on the first team. Goalkeeper Hattori will be competition for Tatsunari Nagai. Itakura can play in a range of positions across a back three or four. Shimada, a clever player who didn't get the chance he deserved at Vanarare, will provide options up front. Ndao offers something different, a big, powerful striker who in 2022 was loaned from Yokohama F. Marinos to FC Maruyasu Okazaki. Tone is an impactful attacking midfielder from Beraspa Oita. Listener Kondrai compares FC Osaka to YSCC Yokohama as the smallest of three clubs in their home cities, and he asks, what are the odds on them keeping a foot in the door of pro football? I'm optimistic of a more professional approach at Osaka than YSCC and expect them to establish themselves at J3 level. And for 2023, I'll cautiously suggest a finish just above halfway. On to Nara Club, the 2022 JFL champions, an achievement by young coach Julian Marin Bazalo, taking the team from 10th the previous year to top spot and promotion. That step up becomes easier to understand when you examine the title-winning squad. Hayato Asakawa, the league MVP and Golden Boot winner, has previously scored goals for Loasso Kumamoto and YSCC. Centre-back and captain Yuki Kotani has also turned out for Kumamoto. Wide player Masahiro Kaneko spent 8 years at Zvegan Kanazawa. Masataka Kani ran the Gainare Tottori midfield for 4 seasons. and these are only a handful of the available examples. It would barely be an exaggeration to say Nana won the JFL with a J3 team. Bazzolo, known as Julian, stays on. Two main players have departed. Young central midfielder Rin Morita's loan spell from Tokushima Vortis has ended. Attacking midfield player Kordai Nagashima has joined Berspa Oita. As at FC Osaka, the approach to making the squad for the new season is considered and controlled. It's a small squad at Nana, only 25 players, mostly unchanged, and the club appear to have shopped wisely. Megumu Nishida and Kensei Nakashima have been snapped up after being released by Kanazawa and SC Sagamihara, respectively. Nishida, a skillful wide player of unfulfilled potential. Nakashima, able to fit into Morita's role in the heart of the team. Also joining are two of the JFL's best players of the last two or three years, Hayato Horiuchi, a centre-back from Honda FC, and Maruyasu Okazaki's prolific striker Tatsuma Sakai. Gabriele Anello and Kondrai pose contrasting questions about Nana's prospects for 2023. Do we expect Nana to take the same route as other promoted teams? Maybe running for promotion, asks Gab. Well, Kondrai looks at it from another angle. Nana, being the first J-League club from their prefecture, will probably be a big burden for them mentally. How do you see their chances of finishing above the potential relegation spots and staying in J3? I think over the last few seasons we've seen that well-prepared, professional clubs can make the move from the JFL into J3 very comfortably. Not many teams will be able to perform as well as Iwaki, of course, but as Gab says, FC Imabari and Tegevajaro Miyazaki have quickly established themselves as competitive. Nana clearly were set up to gain promotion in 2022. They've held on to their impressive, forward-thinking coach, managed changes to the squad, and so look stronger coming into the new season than they did last year. Predicting a club to get promoted in consecutive seasons is very difficult, but as with Osaka, I think there's no reason why Nana can't achieve a top half finish. Few clubs in these previews have been forced into changes to their first team the way Gainare Tottori have this winter. Their improvement during the last dozen or so games of the 2022 campaign, when Gainare rose from the bottom two to finish 12th, served to draw attention to Kim Jong-song's side, and five or six players who had appeared regularly for the first team moved on from the club. Goalkeeper Ken Tajiri was the odd one out. He was released before Iwate Gruja Morioka picked him up, but otherwise J2 and J3 clubs came calling. And so top scorer Daichi Ishikawa joined Kumamoto. Midfielders Taiki Arai and Naoya Uozato both went to Fujieda. Hot prospect defender Yusuke Ishida also moved to J2 and Iwaki. And, as mentioned in the last episode, another promising young player, Yuya Taguchi, signed for Gifu. Kim remains in charge, and in their pre-season coverage, the local paper, the Nihonkai Shimbun, report that he and Tottori are aiming for 76 points and promotion to J2 for the first time since 2013. So who are the players to achieve such a lofty ambition? I'll begin with a couple of ones to watch staying on from 2022. Hopes are high this will be the breakout season for Mun Inju, a second-year pro who previously attended Korea University and represented North Korea at under-23 level. He didn't get much playing time last year, but when Mun did get a run in the team, his dynamism and eye for an opportunity were a cut above. There's also Ryusei Takao, still only 19, a forward with promise, mobility and a venomous shot. How about players coming into the club? Yuta Togashi from Gifu looks set to replace Ishikawa in the right midfield role. He scored 16 goals from that position in Kim's 2018 J3 winning FC Ryukyu side. And someone else reuniting with their old coach is Taku Ushinohama, loaned from Kagoshima United and competition for Ryosuke Tamura on the left. Listener Martin Spivey asks about Makoto Fukoin, who makes the move from Blaublitz Akita and brings prior J3 experience as well. With Arai having moved on, Fukoin looks an astute signing for Tottori, and I can see him slotting alongside Hiroto Sese in central midfield. Gainare need to improve the defence if they want to improve results, and to that end, Keita Tanaka from FC Ryukyu brings experience to the right-hand side, while Ryoya Izumi should increase competition for the centre-back positions following his move from FC Imabari. Kanazawa Dreamin wonders if Tottori can add consistency to their impressive results near the end of last year. In the final analysis, I think after a turbulent winter, they do have a decent core group of players, but are lacking in depth to see them through the season. A top half finish would constitute a major success for Tottori. Their 10th season in the J-League, and during that time, fun fact alert, Kamatamari Sanuki have never finished higher than 6th bottom of whichever division they've been in. With relegation out of the league having been introduced, how have the Noodle Boys prepared for perhaps the most important year in their history? I think the answer to that question is by devising and executing a strategy to put together a focused and competitive squad. I also think Sanuki have a decent chance of finishing outside the bottom six as a result. In other words, we'll need to look elsewhere for relegation candidates. This marked change in expectations has been overseen by incoming coach Atsushi Yonayama, who's moved from the staff at Machida Zelvia, but who, interestingly, was first team coach at Kawasaki Frontale when the Kanagawa Giants began their period of J1 dominance in 2017 and 2018. At Kamatamari, Yonayama has begun with a clear out and reduced the number of players in the first team squad to a more manageable 29, with an average age of less than 24 among the youngest in the division. Three players he presumably would like to have kept have been signed by other clubs. Right back Mizuki Uchida has headed to Machida. Top scorer Kohei Matsumoto has joined Vanfore Corfu. Experienced defender Genichi Endo has gone to AC Nagano Parseiro. Players coming into the club fall into three categories: promising rookies, JFL stars, if that's not too strong a word, and experienced J-leaguers. Of the latter, defensive duo Kei Munechika from YSCC Yokohama and Yudai Okuda, signed from Tokushima after spending last year loaned to Tegevajano Miyazaki, are likely to see action, alongside attacking midfielder Yuto Mori from Mito Hollyhock and, yes, Martin Spivey, now Eguchi from Akita, a solid bet for a central midfield role. I shall seek to justify my JFL stars claim by mentioning one to watch, Himan Morimoto, who 12 months after Kohei Matsumoto left FC Teamo Hinakata for the bright lights of Seneki, takes the same path. Morimoto scored 14 goals last season and has the potential to be a handful for J3 defences, perhaps next to another double-digit striker, Kaima Akehoshi from Kochi United. An interesting set of rookies includes a duo from Risho University to name-check central midfielder Shunji Takemura and forward Ryohei Torigai. Much, of course, depends on how Yonayama can blend a team from these disparate parts, but Kamatamari look better prepared to meet the challenges of the year ahead. Finally this week, they're moving into their shiny new Satoyama Stadium, but are FC Imabari also ready to make the move up to J2? The club certainly look forward to their fourth season in the J-League on an upwards trajectory, a strong second half of 2022 seeing them rise to fifth place in the standings. Former Gainare Tottori boss Riki Takagi switches from a backroom role to take over as coach, and as is typically the case with Imabari, he has a well-funded squad to work with. Few, if any, other J3 clubs have the wherewithal to sign some of the players on their transfers in list. I'll get to that in a minute, because some key departures mean that Takagi had to prioritise bringing in players in particular positions. As mentioned in the last episode, Shu Mogi in goal had a fine season last year, but has moved on at the end of his loan spell, as is also the case for dynamic young striker Kanta Chiba. It's no surprise to see centre-back Tomoya Ando accept an offer from Oita Trinita, and let's also acknowledge the retirement of former national team defender Yuichi Komano at the age of 41. So who are the most notable names on that transfers in list? John Ander Cervantes, the popular former Avispa Fukuoka goalkeeper, is one of the most eye-catching J3 deals of the winter, a coup for Imabari, who brings Cervantes back to Japan from UD Logroñés in his native Spain. There are also J2 standard players to cover the outgoing first team as just mentioned. Forward Dudu comes from Machida, and it will be fascinating to see how he combines with Takagi's other attacking options. Centre-back Hiroshi Futami makes the move from Vivara Nagasaki. Meanwhile, from Vissel Kobe in J1 comes right-back Nagisa Sakurauchi, although he picked up a serious injury in pre-season and unfortunately is expected to be out until August. If there's a whiff of FC Gifu 2022 about this strategy, it's countered by the fact that each of the players fills an identifiable gap. Imabari do have one of the older squads in the division, but the average age is 26, not wildly out of keeping with their rivals. And indeed, there are young players at the club who can make a difference. Defender Hayato Teruyama impressed last season on loan from Vegalta Sendai, an arrangement which has now been made permanent. The lively Taisei Takase's opportunities up front were more limited than one might have hoped. Takagi will know the quality of new arrival Hikaru Arai from their Tottori days. Finding the balance among all these options will be the key to success, but if Takagi gets it right, Imabari have it in them to fight for promotion. In the next episode, I'll be previewing the final five clubs ahead of the start of J3 2023. Ehime FC, Gidawansu Kita Kyushu, Tegevajaro Miyazaki, Kagoshima United, and FC Ryukyu. Your questions on those clubs are invited via the usual means. But with all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.